Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk. The urban industrialized society that you live within is systematically destroying the environment. The Mechanopolis is destroying the planet. You have been psychologically programmed to believe that this is not happening. Pockets of resistance have been weeded out and crushed. The Anti-Hero Underground is the only existing group of resistors who have managed to survive. We subsist in the wilderness outside of the biosphere where our numbers are strong. Tactical skill has allowed us to gain ground in the war against machine culture, but that will not be enough. New recruits and patrons are needed in the struggle, or what little is left of the forest will not survive. There is not much time. The war that shapes our lives is upon us at every moment. The machines and their culture are winning. Day by day, their smokestacks spew poison into the air. At night, the stars do not shine above their electric palaces. The thieves of history would have you believe that their world, your world, is the only one which exists. This is a mistruth. We are alive and fighting.
Locked up in there. Now off you go into your wild blue yonder. Now off you go into your wild blue yonder.
Out there. These are the known knowns. But there are also the unknown unknowns. Now off you go, now off you go. Now off you go into your wild blue yonder. Now off you go into your wild blue yonder.
Linda, and I'm here today with Wave. You just heard from Kanan and Waving Flag, and before that was Maiden Speech. But I was just saying to Wave, I listened to that Waving Flag song over and over and over and over. I loved it, and then I found out that Kanan sold out to the World Cup soccer and Nike or something, and they changed the lyrics around to not be mentioning so much the sort of, you know, genocide and all of that stuff, and to make them more pro-sporty and positive. So there we go. That's the story of K-9. There's lots of discussion on the internet about the selling out thing. So coming up on today's show, we've got a recording of Sakura Saunders doing the True Cost of Coal, a Beehive Collective talk, and she did that talk a few weeks ago at the event that we put on called Coal O'Neill Collapse, and a good night was had by all.
Yeah.
And someone said they were surprised at how radical it was. So, and there was a bit of kind of hyping up for anarchism and the G20 as well.
That
from
the shit
Testament.
Will be hitting the fan, and the police state will be here. If presidents will be here, then all their entourage will be here, etc. Let alone all then the global kind of crowd of naysayers also will be here. So yeah, be ready.
Yeah, we've got to get organised. Do some agitate, educate, organise.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yes, that's what's coming up on today's show. Right now, I'm going to play a song from The Coup. Actually, I'm going to play a song from Test Their Logic, since we were just talking about the gig where Testament from Test Their Logic played, and this song is called The End of the World.
The world, and I feel fine, cause revenge is so sweet. I'm about to get mine in the streets with my peeps staring down police lines. Bandanas up, cause the thing is a crime.
They want obedient slaves,
not autonomous minds.
We want freedom from all of their monstrous designs.
They want total control, every inch colonized.
We want dignity, love, and control of our lives.
When it's feeling like them times, if it's me, you and Armageddon, grab a blunt and a dime. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I am feeling fine. The revolution, they won't show it, it won't be televised. Turn the tide, pick your side. We rise in humankind to find the problems, then we plot a revolution worldwide. Like a tsunami, the people army across the world is gonna rise to find solutions with collusion. They ain't fooling with their schooling. Crash your head in the vice, my vice is recognize that it's your life. And if this is your last day on the planet, then you better think twice about what's nice, what you're doing. Got you stuck on the grind, the 9 to 5 to stay alive. Quit that shit and you will shine to the top of the mountain. I know that we will climb, I know that we will make it, then transcribe it to a rhyme. Ain't no Y2K99 this time, or the sacred calendar, the minds. Not apocalyptic, see we flip it when we spitting out the signs. So raise your glasses, shake your asses, we the phoenix from the ashes. Rising up, we mean it, watch your back, your upper class bastards. Wanna be slave masses, see you're running out of time. It's the end of your world, sucker, and I am feeling fine.
It's the end of the world. World, and I feel fine. I've been waiting for this day for a real long time. Saw the signs real early, prepared for the decline. Got a garden, started arming the community to find solutions to pollution, ways to keep moving, ways to keep food in their tummies without money. The end of the world doesn't have to be so bloody. The world was so ugly, peeps were so gully, but we shifted the whole paradigm. Revolution worldwide, new frame of mind, a new way of life, and it's about time. So we dancing and we laughing while the old world dies.
This is the end, my friend, don't break with bend. With the winds of change, break the chains, gotta defend the people, the planet, community. It's why we're alive, while we're here, fight for freedom till the day that we die. The army dormant, waking, swarming, apply the lessons of the past so that we can survive. If the end has arrived, greet it with a smile and a wink. It's the end of the world, but yo, it's not what you think.
It's the end of the world, and I feel fine, cause I'm about to flip a script. The beginning is nigh, the empire's naked, the system's a lie. Fist to the sky, we'll resist till it dies. Tearing down prisons they built for our lives. Build alternatives where we can decide how we live, how we love, how we get organized. The end of the world means a new world will rise.
Get swicker. What's a generation of rebellious minds that's addicted to drugs gonna do with their time? Just pay homage to irrelevant shrines. Kids run amok amid felonious crimes while master binds of abolishing mankind. Bad man manufacture the landmine. Fuck that, I kick back a plan mine. Don't call me on a landline, it's a bad time. I got trouble on my mind while I struggle to find somebody to trust. Just clandestine, I can't abandon mine because this must be that family vibe. So collect call the calamity line, but never winch to me when it's anarchy time. Cause I'll be hanging with mine when the agony blinds all forms and colours, all shapes and size.
Trouble on my soul,
negative will inevitably kill.
Break it down like rubble.
Heard from the Serenity and Trouble. You're listening to Autonomous Action Radio, the Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ with Linda and Wave. And coming up right now, I'm going to play a section from the talk that Sakura gave at Cole O'Neill Collapse a few weeks ago. And this talk is about the true cost of coal. And the Beehive Collective make these amazing big huge posters, and they're kind of using art to show the effects of coal mining. And the area which the poster and the talk focuses on is Appalachia in America, where there's very destructive coal mining going on called mountain top removal. The coal in Queensland, I was talking to Brad from Six Degrees about this, the coal in Queensland is in basins, so we're not going to see mountaintop removal, but in America it's in mountains.
So they remove the tops of mountains.
You know, what else would you do? You know, if there's a mountain in the way of your coal.
Thank you so much for coming and packing this social center. It's really awesome to see you all here. My name is Sakura, and I came from Well, the United States and Canada, I work with a collective called the Beehive Design Collective. And what we do is we make these huge, portable, graphic narrative murals. And we bring them around with us so that we can do storytelling, usually around the themes of resource extraction, neocolonialism, and free trade. This one in particular is about coal mining in this place called Appalachia, which is in the eastern United States. It's one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world. And basically the history of how coal mining started there and then how it became what it is today, which is a type of coal mining called mountaintop removal. And how this has affects much bigger outside of Appalachia in terms of climate change and toxification, but also the impacts actually on the ground in Appalachia. And I think it's a story that you'll probably be able to relate to some degree. Australia also being a major colonial power, much like Canada and the US. The histories are very similar, and also lots of these dynamics of resource extraction. And I'm really honored and happy to have folks from the Six Degrees campaign working on coal mining right here in Queensland, so that they'll be able to make those connections to the local story here. This was based on a 6-month tour of Appalachia, kind of doing a listening tour, which is actually similar, I feel, to some of the work that Six Degrees does with their listening tours. And took about 3 years to make, so really, really intensive on the research. About, you know, 3 artists total actually, like, put the pen to the paper, but many more brainstormed ideas, and re-brainstormed ideas, and made mind maps upon mind maps to come up with what you see here. I'm going to start the story right down here. It kind of is like a timeline. So this is the very, very beginning, the story of how coal was created in prehistoric marshlands. And so what basically happened was there is these marshlands that had plants in it, very similar to the ferns and horsetails that we have today. I don't know if you guys have those here in Australia. But they would be covered with water so quickly that they didn't have the oxygen to completely decompose. And instead, the anaerobic bacteria would partially decompose it and make it so that that energy that they gathered from photosynthesis was readily available to burn. So every time you burn coal, what you're doing is you're burning 10,000 years of photosynthesis in an instant. And so coming up from coal's beginnings, we have, you know, the beginnings of human civilization on the land, you know, and the native people and how they once lived here. And then when we go to the top, you can see the start of colonization. And we represent that with a European starling bird, because the European starling is an invasive species to the US. It was actually brought because it appeared in some Shakespeare play that they were doing in Central Park, and they wanted the actual bird there. And it just kind of terrorized the bird population in Appalachia ever since. You guys have them here, right?
Flying toads.
Flying toads. Okay, you have other invasive species, so you know. So the European starling is kind of famous for actually kicking birds out of their nests and taking over their nests to use them. So we felt like it was a fairly apt analogy for the Europeans, generally speaking. But we have them bringing things like, you know, culture, like the, not all culture, of course, but the musical instruments and some farming techniques and religion. And then here they're also bringing disease-soaked blankets. And it's very well documented that the colonizers of the Americas deliberately spread disease by distributing blankets that were infected with smallpox virus.
And that was the first section of the talk from Sakura about the true cost of coal. And Sakura and Testament from Test Their Logic are currently touring Australia, bringing some radical pollen from America and spreading it all around Australia. And they were down in Melbourne on the weekend, and there was a big fundraiser held for something that Izzy Brown and Uncle Kevin Buzzacott are involved in, which is a convoy from Lake Eyre to West Papua. there's lots of repression going on in West Papua, so yeah, that's happening soon. And I will interview Izzy soon on the radio because she's also completed the United Struggle project, which you heard about right when it was beginning. And so I've got to catch up with her about that and to find out everything that's happening there.
Always there burning in the fire. Justice is cleansing and turning. grow it. Fan it, the planet must feed it, we'll grow it.
Expose what the government is allowing to happen here. And then we go down here, and here we're at about the mid-1800s, around 1830, and this is kind of a documentation of the forced removal of the Cherokee from eastern United States. What basically happened, and you can see this right here, is the state of Georgia decided that they were going to extinguish all of the Cherokee's laws. Even though up to that point, the Cherokee Nation was a separate nation, and treaties with the United States government had established a nation-to-nation relationship. But Georgia decided that they were just going to ignore all that, and they started a lottery to start giving away all the Cherokee land. So the Cherokee, who actually had just started their own written language, there's a famous Cherokee man named Sequoia. And what he did was he created kind of like an alphabet to represent all of the syllables in, or all of the, yeah, phonetic syllables, I guess, in the Cherokee language. And it didn't catch on at first, but he taught it to his daughter. And once it was adopted by the Cherokee Nation, almost everyone was literate within a few months. And so they started a newspaper that was bilingual in English and in Cherokee to not only communicate their cause amongst themselves, but also to the outsiders, because it was very much a political campaign that they were working on. They had a Supreme Court case, Cherokee versus Georgia, to say, hey, Georgia isn't allowed to do this. Nation-to-nation relationship, this is being violated. These are United States treaties. This is encapsulated in United States law. But once Andrew Jackson took over, it was kind of over. Not only were the Cherokees forced to leave, but there was many other nations that basically were forced to go to Oklahoma in what's called the Trail of Tears. They were forced to leave at gunpoint, and there was about 12 to 14,000 of them that left, and 4,000 of them died along the way. And so that's what's documented here. And one of the reasons why lots of them died, I don't know if I already mentioned this, but it was basically in the beginning of winter that they started forcing the removal of them. And some Cherokee actually stayed, were able to hide and stay, and stay there to this day. So up here, we have the start of the industrialization of Appalachia. And that's, of course, facilitated by the expansion of the railways, which made it so that they could extract the resources and bring them back to the cities where those resources were being used. And here we have an image of the company town. And so this is kind of like the beginnings of wage slavery, where actually everyone that was a worker would get paid in company script. And you'd have to pay the company at the company store to get anything like supplies and food, or you'd have to pay the company in this script for rent on your house. And so it was basically like a modern and quasi-modern for this time period of indentured servitude. But even then, the workers would still sometimes organize and strike, and in those cases, they brought in slave camps of scabs. And so you can see these ants in these kind of makeshift tents with the guns pointed at them. That's what that's meant to illustrate. But there's an extremely rich Union history in Appalachia. You know, they created one of the biggest mine workers unions, or the biggest unions in the United States, the United Mine Workers of America. And right here, this is to commemorate, actually, which was the biggest civil uprising in the United States outside of the Civil War. So, you know, according to which sources read, 12,000 to 20,000 armed miners rose up and marched on, you know, basically their boss's doorstep. What happened was there was a sheriff that was in town that was actually letting them organize. So the sheriff was kind of like the miner's hero that was instated by a pro-union mayor. And when the mining company found out about this, they killed him. And this caused this huge rally. And from this huge rally, they decided to march 65 miles. And on the way, kick out any of the armed militia that the company was hiring. What ended up happening was they got the US military called on them. And you know, they were being bombed and everything along the way. There was a lot of bloodshed. And eventually, when they faced off with the US military, because they were wearing their you know, military uniforms from World War I, because lots of them were World War I vets, and that was very similar to the uniforms that the US military was wearing, they actually famously, both sides laid down their arms and refused to fight each other. Here you can see there's a celebration. Oh, and just one other point about that. That is actually because the miners, when they marched, to distinguish themselves as, you know, the militant armed miners, they wore red handkerchiefs, or red bandanas around their necks, and that's the origin of the word redneck. So it actually has like a fairly cool like origin.
I didn't know where that came from.
And so here, you can see it's just one of the celebrations of the Union. They're celebrating finally getting electricity, generations after it was already available in the cities, right next to where, you know, the coal was produced in their town. And then here, of course, is to celebrate the 8-hour day, which is another hard-fought Union victory.
And that was our second part of Sakura there, talking about the true cost of coal, the story of coal in Appalachia, and I guess all over. We're going to hear one of our songs from the Greek anarchist friends, from our Greek anarchist friends.
Και τα βγάλανε στη γύρα σαν πόρνες. Να τα πηδήξουν ή να τα σκοτώσουν. Τι προτιμάς? Στην Ελλάδα το 2006 κάτσε πουτσο να φας. Μπας και πας λίγο μπροστά. Γιατί η ηλιθιότητα πλέον μαζεύει ποσοστά και τον ρεπόρτερ τα φλας. Καθώς γίνεις υπόδειγμα μόνο αν τα κουμπάς. Και αν τίνεσαι ακριβά, γιατί ωραία εμφάνιση έγινε το κλειδί στην πόρτα. Που σε οδηγεί ψηλά μιλώντας πάντα κοινωνικά. Γιατί θήκα παίζουν πολλά. Αυτό για άλλη φορά. Ή βγάλε τον εαυτό σου ψεύτη. Ο φυσάλος μα το ίδιο πρόσωπο στο καθρέφτη. Το ίδιο μυαλό απαχυρό. Περιμένεις κάθε μέρα μέχρι να σου ρίξουν άκυρο. Και δεν κουνιέσαι, δεν μιλάς. Πεθαίνεις ακριβώς όπως την ώρα που γεννιέσαι. Μες στα αίματα. Τώρα πια σε έμαθα και ξέρω πως για τα λεφτά γαμιέσαι. Άνθρωπε με ευκολία. Μου το πει ίδια η ζωή, δεν το δάσε βιβλία. Αυτά μου πρόσφεραν μόνο επιλία. Έγινε αλεία στα σχολεία. Για να με καθυλώσουν σε θρανία. Τόσα νουσία χρόνια. Να χάνω το καιρό μου με μονάδικο σκοπό. Να βρω κι εγώ στην ανεργία. Νιώθω αηδία. Γιατί σκοτώνεις με τόσο βάρβαρο τρόπο άλλο ένα παιδί σου κοινωνία.
Νύχτες και νες, το πλήθος αναπαύεται κατά από κρατικές απειλές οι φωνές. Σιωπηλές σε μια όπερα του χθες χαμένη. Η συνείδηση σαν φάντασμα να την κρατάει στοιχειωμένη. Ποιος ήσυχος κοιμάται, πες μου τελικά τι μένει. Στον πάτωμα ένα πιστόλι με μια κάνει καπνισμένη. Ποιος ήσυχος κοιμάται, από εκείνου ζούμε και οι δύο. Αδερφέ μου στην πόλη του κτίριου. Με νύχια και με δόντια, με χέρια και με πόδια. Τη ζωή κρατάμε σταθερά ως τώρα τα τιμόνια. Κακά που φρένο πάτησα, τώρα βάζω μπροστά για όλα τα χρόνια που στον τίποτα χαράμισα. Στα σχολικά κλουβιά στρέφω το βλέμμα στην αμάτη που παίζει παντού σε κάθε γειτονιά. Είναι κάτι που θολώνει το μυαλό σου και για να δεις καθαρά πρέπει μάτια και αυτιά να κλείσεις και να νιώσεις την αλήθεια να γυρνά. Του γύρω μας και εμείς πλάτη γυρνώντας τρέχουμε προς την εξέλιξη γελά. Ο διάβολος μαζί μας γιατί πλέον το μίσος δεν σταματά. Για δες όλα για τα λεφτά παιδιά νεκρά φανά καλά χωρίς του AIDS. Υπάθες στα μάτια μου την κόλαση με στην οποία περιφέρεσαι πάψε να κλαις. Και οργίσου πως τα δύσκολα πλάι μου θα ματώσεις τις γροχές σου. Όταν οι πρώτες σφαίρες πέσουν δε σου. Έγκυα με ό,τι όλοι θα αντέξουν. Μα θα είμαστε εκεί μέχρι να μας ρίξουν κάτω ή να μας δέσουν. Οι ουρανοί με δάκρυα θα βρέξουνε, τη γη θα πέσουν. Σφαλιάρες, σαιματάδες, μπαμπάρες. Οι μαύρες μέρες εκφοβήσαν τους πάντες. Δίνουνε φως να μας λείπει. Εξάλλου πότε επιβίωνα μέσα στο φως ηλίκη.
Από την άκρη της πόλης τα φώτα που δίνουν ζωή σε ένα ψυχό το οποίο κάνεις βουτιά στο κενό και ξυπνά σου φαίνεται αστείο. Το πόσο εύκολα μπορείς κι εσύ να ανατραπείς από τους συνεχείς κράδασμους. Έχουν βουλώσει τα αυτιά σου και δεν ακούς τίποτα πια. Ούτε καν την καρδιά σου που καμιά φορά ξεχνιέται και να χτυπά σταματά. Μαζί για να δεις το μετά είναι επιφυλάσσει μυστικά. Ποτέ δεν φεύγω για πολύ και δεν πάω μακριά. Μα θα ήθελα να μάθω στο σχολείο πώς να συμπεριφέρομαι. Πίσω από κάγκελα την έκανα. Ξέχασέ με τώρα πες πως πέθανα. Με φάγαν οι σκέψεις αυτές. Ακούς φωνές αρκεί να πιστέψεις αυτές. Μέρα τη μέρα λεπτά. Το λεπτό γυρνώ με τον πλανήτη μου. Γυρά από τον ίδιο μου τον εαυτό. Να με γνωρίσω λίγο πιο καλά από ό,τι θες. Μη μιλάς, καταγράφεται κάθε λέξη που λες και λέω. Στον κόσμο τον πάντο ονειρεύομαι πως επιπλέον. Δεν βλέπω τίποτα νέο. Κι αν υπάρχει κάτι που μας κάνει μοναδικούς, είναι ό,τι μας βγαίνει πηγαίο. Ελεύθεροι κόβουμε βόλτες πάνω κάτω σε μια μεγάλη απλή. Δημιουργήσαμε ανάγκες. Παθές να τις καλύψεις, κάπως θα κάνεις απάντες. Στη ζούγκλα του μπετόνου κάποιοι πάτσες την είδα μπροστά της. Και σου πελάτες όπου κοιτάς αγνώστες πάτσες. Χωρίζοντας ανθρώπους από ζώα συχνά με βάση τις ράτσες ή το χρώμα. Φυτρώνει ο ρατσισμός μέσα από οποιοδήποτε κόμμα και μολύνει. Από ακόμα και τους πιο δυνατούς σκοτώνει η ροήνη. Ως μέθοδος αποδυνάμωσης τις ενεργούς μας ασκούς. Είμαι σαν σε τρύπες και ονειρεύεται τα ψέματα αυτών που έχουν την τελευταία κουβέντα. Νήματα κινούν δεμένα πάνω σε ένα σύμβολο που πιστοί προσκυνούν. Όσα κι αν κόψεις απ' την αρχή θα αναπτυχθούν. Έτσι μένουμε στάσιμοι σε μια κατάσταση. Γεννιόμαστε, πεθαίνουμε άσημοι και μισούμε από συμπαράσταση. Αφιερωμένο στη Γαλλία, όπου ακόμα τριγυρνάνε οι ψυχές. Στους δρόμους τους οποίους δεν χωρούν αφεντικά και απειλές. Στους δρόμους που σκοτώθηκαν γιατί δεν βγάλαν γλώσσα μα μολότοφ και γροτιές.
So how do we get from kind of what's happening here to what's happening here, where they're just blowing the tops off mountains and then scraping them up? Well, this was the continuous mechanization of mining. So this is one big part of it, and this is one of the first inventions that they created to get rid of the mining workforce. It was a continuous miner. And as you can see, these hats in here are kind of illustrating the fact that this destroyed the livelihood of many miners. And in fact, here you can see the grannies of this little possum. The snake represents the workers. And is this a raccoon? No, this is a skunk. There we go. I'm like, what is this? A skunk represents the farmers. They all got together to oppose the mechanization of mining. And of course, the farmers had their own reasons for not wanting mining. And they had a campaign of direct action, which included sabotage, which you can kind of see right here. This guy, this little miner right over there. So this led to this enormous thing, which is what's called a drag line. And so what happens in like modern day mountaintop removal is they blow the tops off mountains, and then they use this machine to scrape the coal seams. So they flatten the mountains and then scrape that coal. You can fit 2 to 3 Greyhound buses in this bucket, and this is 5 stories high. And yet, this only takes 5 people to run. So whereas here you used to have 150 miners work on a mine site, here you have 15 miners and they're actually doing way more destruction, way more mining. And this is actually something that ties into what you guys have here. You're not necessarily blowing the tops off mountains, but the method of mining you have is very similar to our mountaintop removal. And we have some folks from the Six Degrees campaign that will talk a little bit about that.
Sure, I wanted to, we don't have mountaintop removal going on here because most of our coal is in the valleys in Queensland, but the environmental destruction that happens is not necessarily the same, but close enough. And so we have, I think, 5 or 6 nature refuges in Queensland that have been set aside in perpetuity with the understanding that this area would be protected for wildlife that are being threatened by coal mines in Queensland. We have coal mines right up on the borderlines of national parks, and all the coal is going out through the Great Barrier Reef. So, you know, it's the same story around the world in terms of really large scale environmental destruction at a local level as well as at the global level, which I'm sure is a really good thing.
One thing that's interesting, and I hear you guys have this here as well, is the deceptively named, actually it's not deceptive, the Clean Air Act, which sounds, you know, benign enough, right? It sounds positive. It's actually a Dirty Water Act. So, you know, the big cities and everyone that's burning this coal decided that they didn't want that coal polluting their air, or they wanted to pollute the air as little as possible because coal pollutes the air. Burning coal, there's no getting around it. So they created the Clean Air Act, which basically mandated that all the coal gets washed in Appalachia before it gets shipped out. And so what that means is that, you know, this waste is stored in these toxic tailing ponds, and they're held up with earthen dams. Another waste product of coal mining is the ash, and it's radioactive ash, actually. And that's another byproduct of coal mining. And what happens is when it rains a lot, many times these dams can burst. You know, they're like the levees in New Orleans, or, you know, they're just earthen, you know, mounds, really. And so this has decimated many communities, killing over 100 people each time. And according to engineers, it's not if they'll fail, it's a matter of when. And so it's just to illustrate the point that, like, engineers know that these things are going to cause death somewhere along the line. They don't know when, they don't know where, but they're actively making these decisions. And when lots of people talk about Appalachia, they'll refer to it as a sacrifice zone, despite the fact that people currently live there and have to deal with the impacts. You know, here's Mama Frog, and she's having to deal with the fact that, you know, 1 year they reported the tomatoes she had just rotted on the vine. And the water was coming out so black and polluted that she didn't obviously trust it anymore and didn't trust to use it anymore. This is an example of, they call it the Dance of Hard Choices. It's a miner, you know, who has a lot of back pain and then is prescribed expensive and highly addictive Oxycontin. Have you guys heard of Oxycontin before? It's a huge problem in Appalachia. Does anyone, like, I don't know, maybe, is there an Australian context for Oxycontin? It gets used and abused? Yeah, and it's really expensive. And, but that's not the most part. The most horrible part is it's extremely, extremely addictive. And so, you know, we found it was a huge problem. Lots of people reported this to us, that addiction to Oxycontin was a big deal. And so here he is with no money left and having to go back. And then his little one is like looking at the different choices that he has of having to buy bottled water, getting stuck in this cycle. And of course, flight is a big issue, youth flight from the area. You know, where people are leaving the area that people have called home for generations upon generations to find any opportunity elsewhere.
Before we go on to this last section of The True Cost of Coal, where we're going to hear from Brad and Shani from 6 Degrees, I just wanted to mention the Greek song that we played was by Lifers featuring BPHT, and the song was called Life in the Streets, and this is a translation by Evie Anstratos, who helped talk this out. And it's resistance hip hop based on the song Lungo La Strata, Along the Road by Milva, which was based on a Soviet folk song. And the song talks about the realities that the younger generations face in capitalism in Greece. And some of the lyrics are, I said, look at me deeply in the eyes and see the hell in which you roam. Wipe the tears and sweat and swear that in the rough times which will come, you'll stand by me and bleed your fists with the first bullets fired upon us. I cannot guarantee you that all will endure, but we will be standing up until they throw us down or arrest us, etc., etc. And you can check that out on the Triple Z website or on our website, autonomousactionradio.com. In the coming days, I'll put links up to that. So we've got this last section.
I'll just mention now too that you've been hearing elements in amongst Sakura there of the 6 Degrees folk. Just to say now that Monday nights, and particularly tonight, they're having a volunteer info night at the Friends of the Earth place, which is at 20 Burke Street in Woolloongabba, Friends of the Earth Warehouse, from 6 o'clock till 7:30. So, and I'm pretty sure they meet there every week too, but particularly tonight is putting out for people if you're interested in getting involved in this campaign in a local sense.
So, yep, this next section is Brad from 6 Degrees and Shani.
So I just want to chip in a little bit about water pollution here in Queensland, because it's a huge issue here as well. The little bit about bottled water there is actually funny, because once when we were on one of our listening tours, we stopped in a town called Blackwater, and you couldn't drink the water there. Why not? They build all these coal mines here. We might not have any of these tailings dams broken, but they build a lot of the coal mines on creeks and rivers in Queensland. And so every summer when it floods, of course, the water just gets put straight into the streams and rivers. And we have a permit system for it called temporary emissions permits, which every year the government dutifully hands out to the coal companies. So they, all this ash and tailings go straight into the rivers, and the people in the town couldn't drink the water anymore. The hospital at the end of the river down in Rockhampton couldn't use the water anymore for their treatments, and like let alone the frogs and fish and ecosystems on the river. So that's happening. And we also have, you know, coal seam gas extraction and underground coal gasification, which I don't think they even do in the States. I think it's pretty much Australia and Russia who are willing to try that experiment, when you actually burn the coal underground and then try and capture the synthetic gas that comes off it. And that's already polluted an aquifer out at Kingaroy, and there's been cattle found with benzene poisoning in the cattle. So we're having this mad experiment going on our water sources right here in Queensland as well.
Yeah, and Australia is actually known for doing interesting, or this area doing interesting experimentations. I heard BHP actually invented fracking, which is now being protested like the whole world over, because it's making water so toxic that you are so gaseous that you can light it on fire from the tap. And also right off the coast of Papua New Guinea, they're starting with underground seabed mining. And of course, all of this stuff is just so phenomenally stupid. Like, I think we have this, like, at least I do, you know, you project your own like sensibilities onto other people and you're like, oh, it's legal, it couldn't be that bad. Yeah. Right? Like, you just, I don't know, I feel like there's this tendency, but no, like, you know, companies don't have to pay any externalities for, you know, for the pollution that they cause. It's an insane system. You know, stuff like the financial crisis, you know, no one speaks up or speaks out if people are making money. You know, and that's why we've had, you know, these crazy scandals happen throughout history. And I think that the environmental catastrophe is one of the largest of these scandals that just hasn't quite broke yet, though it has broken with a large population, I think. You know, so this, of course, is all to feed, you know, what's up here, which is just images of massive consumption. You know, you have the shopping mall here with a Band-Aid over it, with a little leaf on it, you know, that says consume, and the O has an earth symbol on it, you know. So everyone's falling over themselves trying to advertise, trying to convince you that you don't have to change any of your habits. You can consume as much as you like, just buy this extra offset, just buy this extra thing, and it's fine. Everything's okay, you know, just put on the blinders to what's going on. And then we have these, you know, big green companies up here, those little like air socks are to represent some of the big green NGOs. I'm not talking all of them, but a lot of them, you know, are just feel good machines. You know, give us money, feel good about yourself, and we'll rubber stamp stuff.
The Beehive Design Collective is an entirely volunteer-run, decentralized project, which creates collaborative anti-copyright images that can be used as educational and organizing tools. More information on the Beehive Design Collective can be found at beehivecollective.org. On this episode of Autonomous Action Radio, you have been listening to a Beehive presentation called The True Cost of Coal, given by Sakura at Colonial Collapse, an Autonomous Action Radio event. Thanks very much to Chris Harvey for recording and photography at the event. Thanks also to Brad and Shani from 6 Degrees, a climate action collective of Friends of the Earth, Brisbane. You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
When you feel like you've lost all your hope, when there's no one to help you find where to go, don't have to look far, you know where I am. I'm waiting at the end of the road, waiting at the end of the road. We're traveling, don't feel alone. No matter how far you are from your home, when you look up ahead, you'll know where I am. I'm waiting at the end of the road, waiting at the end of the road. And the places I go and the songs that I sing, the rules that I break and the people I meet, I've got a name, one you can repeat. But I'm waiting at the end of the road, waiting at the end of the road. We'll try just about anything to make you turn back and be their machine. They'll shackle your feet and they'll shackle your dreams. They say you're as free as can be. Say you're as free as can be. The law says don't take one more step on the road to a place where ideas are not set. But I say run and leave it all behind. Run till there's no running left. Run till there's no running left. And whatever you think and whatever you want, whatever you need and whatever you've got, you've got a right to be who you are. And don't let them take it away. Yeah, don't let them take you away.
damn lies. Torch my spirit, but I'm still alive.